So you'll have to forgive me. I'm dragging a little bit this morning. I will do as best as I can. But we have chickens. And this time of year, we always sleep with the windows open so we can enjoy the cool, fresh air that comes in the windows. But this sometimes causes a problem. And last night at 2 a.m., we have a herd of javelina that lives in our neighborhood. And they always seem to come to our house to eat our chicken food and to make lots of grunting noises. And last night at 2 a.m., I was rudely interrupted at 2 a.m. from my sleep by a herd of javelina just grunting and trying to eat all the chicken food. And I was very upset because our neighbor leaves his dogs outside, and when the javelinas start grunting, then the dogs start barking and all pandemonium breaks loose, and I'm up for the count. So thank you, neighbors. Thank you, chickens. Thank you, javelina. I appreciate it. You know, they say, do you guys like javelina? They're delicious. That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly right. You know, I know that they're a national treasure, right? There's something that's wonderful in the Southwest and that we should treasure them. But I kind of go with Jesus, right? Store up your treasures in heaven. And I agree with that. Next time those javelina come, maybe I'll store them up in heaven. I don't know. All right, how's that for an introduction, all right? It's been a long morning, I'm sorry. So, today we're starting a new sermon series, as you'll look on your bulletin. If you'll remember, the whole entire year, we're talking about basics of Christianity, basics of our faith. And we started earlier with how our lives are sacred. And we spent a lot of time talking about how we're not just hairless apes, that God has placed into us something special, His faith, His love. We are above all of creation. And that is a wonderful gift that God has given you. And then we just spent a whole bunch of time looking at prayer, because if you want to communicate with God, as you should, He has given us a great way to do that. It's called prayer, and He's also given us a great prayer that we can use as a pattern the when we talk to God. But today we're talking about something new. We're going to spend the next few weeks talking about relationships. And so today we're starting a sermon series called R is for Relationships. You have to remember that it's all about relationships. Relationship, relationship, relationship. Can you say that with me? Relationship, relationship, relationship. That's right. It's all about relationship. And in doing that, I would like to spend some time in this brief little text that we have this morning from Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, where He basically says, store up your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy. Now, normally, when we preach on this text, we're talking about stewardship, right? This is a great stewardship text. Basically, we talk about our times and our talents and our treasures and how if we don't use that on earth, we can't take it with us. And so you need to store those things in heaven and not on earth. And that is a very good thing. We should store our treasures in heaven. And this is a good text for that. But there's another part of it. And the part of it is basically, okay, if we're not going to store it on earth, then how do we use that to kind of store it in heaven? And so we're going to just basically talk about that this morning. I've got three brief points that I want to talk about. And the first one is this. How do we store up treasures in heaven? Basically, what are treasures? If you've ever seen our discipleship life cycle graphic, it shows how a seed of faith is planted and then it grows and then it continues to grow, it sprouts and then it bears fruit. And then in those fruit are more seeds. And this is called the discipleship life cycle. Basically, treasures are bearing fruit. Treasures are those times when you bear fruit in the world around you. That's treasure. That's bearing fruit is treasure. And each of us has been given a gift and abilities, and now we can either hoard those things or we can use those gifts and abilities to spread those gifts and abilities to the world around us. But what does that mean specifically? I'll give you an absolutely specific example. Let's say that God has blessed you with many gifts and abilities in your time and your talent and your treasure, and you wake up all day and you spend, maybe this isn't everybody, maybe this is nobody, but this could be me. You wake up and you spend all day watching TV, or you spend all day on the internet, or you spend all day reading a book, and you're spending all day kind of taking and receiving, but you never give. You see, that's not using your talents and abilities to the world around you. That's basically receiving and not giving. But if you have time and talents and treasures that God is giving you, He expects you, He wants you to use that to spread His love, to bear fruit in the world around us. That truly is what it is all about. How could you do that? Well, instead of reading a book, you might write a book. Instead of spending time just reading the internet, you might spend some time posting things on the internet about how God loves you and the great things that He's done for you. Or you might turn it all off and spend time in relationship with somebody else. Anytime you've been given a gift from God, if you're hoarding it, if you're receiving it, then you are not spreading that gift around. If you spread that gift around, then you are bearing fruit in the world around you. I want you to listen to what we read in Acts 20. Paul is winding down his ministry, and Jesus, he quotes Jesus where he says, "It is better to give than to receive. It is better to give than to receive." You see, that's bearing fruit. That's bearing fruit. I love the story of the Good Samaritan. He's walking along the road. He's been given the gift of time, talent, and treasure. He comes across this guy that's been robbed, and everybody else passes by him, but not the Good Samaritan, right? He picks him up, puts him on his horse, takes him to the inn, and at great cost to his time, and at great cost to his wealth, at great cost to him personally, he makes sure that the guy is cared for. And Jesus says that's what it's like to give more than receiving. Have you ever thought of what this world would be like if every follower of Jesus Christ in the world spent more time giving than receiving? How much change can be made in this world? Second, then, is this. What is, then, if that's what the treasure on earth is, then the second part is, what does the treasure in heaven look like? We always talk about the treasure on earth, but we never talk about what that looks like in heaven. If you're not going to spend your treasures on earth, how do you get it up there in heaven? That's a very, very interesting point. And so I want to spend some time on that this morning. I remember I was in a monastery. I know it's weird, but about 3 years ago, I was with a group of pastors. We went to a monastery in Carmel, California. And it's this monastery that's on a cliff overlooking the ocean. And it took every ounce of strength I had to come back. But I did. And every morning we would wake up and go and just look at this beauty around us. But while we were at the monastery, we stayed in the rooms where the monks stay. And this is where they live full time. It's a room that's about 12 feet wide by 20 feet long. All it has is a bathroom, a bed, a desk, a chair, and a little rack where you can hang your monk's robes. And that's it. Now, I know that sounds really sparse and crazy, that how anybody could live but I remember after about the third day of just living like that, saying, I could get used to this. Because if you were to come to my house, you would see a bunch of junk that I've accumulated all over the years that I simply cannot get rid of. And when I do get rid of it, nature hates a vacuum, it all fills up again. It's the crazy. Does this happen to any of you? You know, I think of all this junk, and it's like, I own this, you know, this. I own all this junk, right? No, this junk all owns me. Because the more junk you have, the more it takes up your time and it takes your effort, and it takes everything out of you. And so the more junk you have, the less time you have spending on relationships. In Matthew 19, Jesus has a discussion with a rich man. He says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Well, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me." And the rich man couldn't do it. He had an opportunity to basically spend the next 3 years with Jesus. Can you imagine how that would have been? All he had to do is kind of get rid of the other stuff and just spend time with Jesus. And he couldn't do it. How much stuff do we have in our life? How much junk do we have in our life that prevents us from spending time in relationship with God and with other people? Because the more junk you got, the less time you have that you can spend about in relationship. Because when we get to heaven, the only thing that will be there is other people, right? And the relationships that we built with Him. We won't need stuff because the Creator of the universe will be there giving us everything we need in life, right? He's going to take care of our every need, so the only thing that we have to do or will be able to do or will do, what heaven looks like, is basically being in relationship with everybody else. Think about it. If Jesus had simply stayed up in heaven, surfing the internet all the time, he would have never come and spent time with us. But he gave of himself. He said, "It is more important to be in relationship with my creation." So he gave it all up, everything, so he could come, take on flesh and dwell with us, which he did. And the last point is this. What does that mean about my relationships today? Well, first of all, I'm going to give you some real, real practical examples about relationships today. First of all, if you've got a broken relationship, heal it. Right? Jesus came to forgive us of our sins so that we could forgive other people. So if there is a broken relationship in your life, God is calling you to heal that relationship and spend time healing that relationship. Second is this, build more relationships. You cannot bear fruit without relationships. The conduit to give fruit to other people is through relationship. And so I highly encourage you to have as many relationships as you can handle. Don't live life without relationships. You've got to have relationships. Relationships are the fruit of life. So go find relationships. You know, part of being a part of the church is this is a community of followers of Jesus Christ. I highly encourage you to find some people in this church and develop a relationship with them. That is such a joy. It fills you with such love. And then third is this. Get rid of the junk that is getting in the way of your relationships. For the rich young ruler, right, it was all the stuff he had, possessions. But it could be anything that could get, you know, I'll tell you one thing that gets in way of a relationship, and some families have actually stopped doing this, but the TV, right? Everybody comes home, they turn on the TV, and then they spend the rest of the night watching TV, or they spend the rest of the night surfing the internet or whatever. Or they spend the rest of the night on their cell phones, you know, reading stuff. I know some families that actually have a blackout day. One day a week. I know, gasp your heart. One day a week where they actually turn off all that stuff and they say, this one day, we're not going to do all that junk. We're going to spend the whole entire day on just relationships with each other. I think that's a cool thing. Because in the end, it's all about relationships. Say that with me. Relationships, relationships, relationships. It's all about relationships. You know, in 2017, Vanderbilt University did a study looking at those people who are part of a faith community. And the guy that did the research, this was last year, he said that those that were not involved with the faith community at all were twice as likely to die prematurely as those who attended a worship service in the last year. You hear that? It's healthy being here in relationship. You guys are just preventing death just by being here. It's awesome. Because it's all about relationships. Relationships, relationships, relationships. So, turn to your neighbor and say, thank you for making me healthy. Go ahead. Thank you for making me healthy. In Jesus' name, amen.